It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown creature.
Proverbs 21:5 tells us, if you plan and work hard, you will have plenty. Yet, for many, money feels stressful and overwhelming. If you're tired of worrying about bills and debt, there's a better way. Contact Kiara Speed, a financial coach who helps individuals and families walk in wisdom and peace with their money. And she can help you build a plan that aligns with your spiritual values and also helps you feel empowered with your money so that you can save, pay down debt, and build wealth for you and your family. Interested in learning more? Visit moneyempowered.com to schedule your free 60-minute consultation.
God, thank you for this day. I pray that you will heal people that hurt. I pray over everybody on earth. Bless this podcast and the people who listen and support it. Bless AC and keep us all safe. In Jesus' name, amen.
James 4:1-2. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have. So you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and fight.
Good morning, family. First, I want to thank Mackenzie for that heartfelt prayer, Lisa for reading God's powerful words, and Kimmery for that amazing song, Cover Us. Amen, amen. So my family, I want to start this morning by confessing something. Sometimes the Lord will speak to me through unexpected things, not always a big choir, not always a revival, not always a deep theology book. Sometimes through something very simplistic, like a simple cartoon. And if you ever watched the animated series Justice League Unlimited, there's an episode called Hawk and Dove that's really at the core of today's message. See, Hawk and Dove are superheroes in the DC universe. In this episode, they team up with Wonder Woman, who serves as their team leader. Now, Hawk represents, we all can only imagine, aggression, fighting. We all know the type, strike first, strike hard, ask questions later. And on the other hand, Dove represents peace and gentleness. In other words, find another way. So in that episode, there's this gigantic war machine created by Ares. And as you all know, in the Greek mythology, he's the god of war. And here's the part that caught me. The machine didn't need oil, didn't need gas, didn't need electricity. But what powered it was conflict, contention, confrontation, hostility. See, every time people fought, every time anger flared, every time fists were raised, that machine got stronger. Fury and aggression were like flames. Hate was spreading and it powered this machine. Is this not a picture of our world today? Let's listen to the word and thank you again, Lisa, for leading us with this scripture. James 4, verses 1 through 2 reads, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but not have, so you kill. You covet, but cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight." See, the book of James is attributed to James the Just, the half-brother of Jesus. And as some of you know, James did not initially believe in Jesus during his ministry, but after the resurrection, he became a prominent leader in the early church. Now, Paul notes that Jesus appeared to James specifically after the resurrection. And James later became the head of the Jerusalem church. And he was respected by both Jewish and Gentile Christians. He was known for his wisdom, devotion to prayer, and fairness. He was famous for teaching that genuine faith produces it. And this book is about practical wisdom. It reads almost like the Proverbs of the New Testament. It's direct and it's practical. He talks about guarding speech, a recurring theme in the power of the tongue, because words can either bless or destroy. And he talks about justice and humility. James calls out favoritism, oppression of the poor, and pride, urging believers to live humbly and fairly. So in James 4, verses 1 through 2, he tells us fights come from desires that battle within. We know the enemy loves to see us at war. And that war machine is real, whether it's fueled by racism, family division, church splits, or national strife. But Jesus gave us the weapon to shut it down. See, in Matthew 5, 43 through 44, he said, "You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Every act of hate fuels the machine. Every act of love starves it. On the cross, Jesus refused to fuel it. He prayed for those who harmed him. So when we look where we are today, it's a sad fact that there is strife in the world, even strife amongst Christians, and for various reasons, strong desires, struggles for prestige, our desire for pleasures, all contribute to conflict, and we kill each other figuratively through jealousy, cruelty, and with our words. Politicians are fighting because they believe their vision of America is the right one. Different religions insult, and battles take place because they believe their God is the true God. Christians argue amongst each other because each church or factions within the church may believe they know what God wants. So in other words, is me, me, me. Instead of looking at the word and understanding what Jesus wants, we make it all about us. But what Jesus said is something that we should really be focusing on. What was his take on greed? What was his take about power and leadership? What did he say about forgiveness and love? See, James through the Spirit is telling us two things. Number one, the fights outside of us start with battles inside of us. And number two, behind every fight, there's a spirit. The Greeks in this episode called him Ares, but we know it's Satan. We know it's the enemy, and the enemy loves to see us at war. So in saying that, we have to know that the machine is real. Let me break this down. The war machine isn't just in a cartoon. It's alive in our world. When racism divides community, that's fuel. When family members stop speaking for years, that's fuel. When churches split over pride, that's fuel. When nations rattle swords and threaten war, that's fuel. And the enemy sits back laughing, because the more we fight, the stronger his machine grows. But here's the good news. That machine is not invincible. Let me share a real story. Years ago, I was mentoring a young man who grew up in a house where fighting was normal, shouting, name calling, cursing. Every night, the war machine was running in that living room. And he told me he thought love meant yelling. He thought if you didn't fight, you didn't care. So he carried that same war to school. Somebody bumped him. He swung. Somebody looked at him wrong. He dared them to look again. Someone stepped on his shoes. He came to blows. He was ready to go. Teachers couldn't control him. His record was full of suspensions. And one day he told me about the fight that almost ended his future. One day he got into it so badly that the person he assaulted ended up in the hospital. And he was looking at serious charges. Do you know what he realized? All my life, I've been giving in to Satan. Every angry word, every grudge, every punch was gasoline. But then, through prayer, through the word, through learning to pause before reacting, he started starving that machine. Instead of fighting, he started walking away. Instead of cussing, he started praying. Instead of holding grudges, he started forgiving. And today, that young man is thriving. Not because he never felt anger, but because he refused to keep fueling the enemy's engine. And you know why I was in a position to mentor this young man? Because I too was him. I too had the anger issues. It was easy for me to go from 0 to 100, but I came to the same conclusion and I barely escaped that because one of my friends pulled a gun on someone in front of me. And as we grabbed him, pleading with him not to pull the trigger, I realized I came to the same conclusion that every one of us has a choice. We can feed the machine with our bitterness, with our gossip, with our jealousy, with our pride, or we can starve the machine with forgiveness, with prayer, with patience, with love. Romans 12:21 tells us, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Every time you forgive instead of retaliate, you starve the machine. Every time you choose unity over division, you starve the machine. Every time you love your enemy, you starve the machine. So let me ask you this. Is there somebody you haven't forgiven? That's fuel. Is there bitterness you've been holding on to? That's fuel. Is there anger you've been feeding in your marriage, your job, your friendships? That's fuel. But when you decide, I won't fight that way anymore, you cut off the supply line. See, Hulk thought you could fight the machine with fists. But Dove knew the truth. Peace was the only way to shut it down. In church, some of us are still hawks, swinging, fighting, reacting, but God is calling us to be doves, bringing peace where there's chaos. Because the promise still stands. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Everywhere we look, in politics, in schools, in neighborhoods, even sometimes in our churches, the tension feels heavier, the words feel sharper, the patience feels thinner. And I have to tell you, it gets exhausting. Now, could social media be the culprit? Maybe. Social media has given us a platform without accountability. We can spit venom on sites and say things that we would never say to someone face to face. Proverbs 18:21 reminds us the tongue has the power of life and death. Today, now, we can do it behind our phones, behind our laptop, behind our iPads. Are we as individuals the culprit? To a degree. When we choose division over unity, wow. When we profit from outrage instead of peace, we plant seeds of bitterness in our society. And as Jesus said in Matthew 7:17, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. If the root is corrupt, the fruit will be rotten. Are we agents of peace? Or are we agents of chaos? Is society as a whole, the blame, the culprit? Absolutely. We live in an age where success is measured by competition rather than compassion, where value is judged by wealth instead of worth, and where we scroll past suffering rather than stopping to feel it. But at the heart of it all, I believe the deeper answer is this. We are lacking empathy. We are lacking the love that Jesus commanded we have for our neighbor. Where's the empathy for those who aren't like us? See, empathy is not agreement. It is understanding. Why do we lack empathy? Because empathy requires slowing down in a world that rewards speeding up. It requires listening in a culture obsessed with talking. It requires humility in an age consumed by pride. But here's the good news. Hatred is not stronger than love. Division is not deeper than grace. And darkness cannot outlast light. Scripture tells us in John 1:5, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. So, what do? We start small. We start today. We speak life instead of curses. We extend grace when it is undeserved. We refuse to let screens dictate our compassion. We choose to live with empathy in our homes, in our churches, in our communities. Hatred may be contagious, but so is kindness. Division may spread quickly, but so can hope. Brothers and sisters, the question is not simply, why are we more hateful? The question is, will we be different? Will we, as followers of Christ, dare to be voices of love in a culture of hostility? Will we be bridges when others build walls? The choice is ours, and the call is clear. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of fueling the enemy's war machine. I'm tired of watching families break apart because of pride. I'm tired of seeing churches split because of unforgiveness. I'm tired of watching communities burn because of hatred. I'm tired. So here's the invitation. If you've been holding on to anger, it's time to lay it down. If you've been fueling the machine with grudges, it's time to starve it. If you've been divided from somebody, it's time to reconcile. Come forward today and say, Lord, I will no longer be fuel for the war machine. I will be fuel for your kingdom. I choose peace. I choose love. I choose to be a peacemaker, because the enemy may have his machine, but we serve a God. We serve a God who breaks chains, who tears down strongholds, and who gives peace that passes all understanding. John 13:34-35 says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. The enemy's machine runs on hate. God's kingdom runs on love. Which one will you fuel? Amen.
Imagine this. She could be your best friend, your sister, your coworker, she could even be you. On the outside, she looks like she has it all together, a nice home, a polished smile, maybe even the dream job. But behind closed doors, silence is her survival. That silence helps no one. One in four women will face abuse in her lifetime. And while some forms of abuse are easy to spot, others hide in plain sight. Behind wealth, success, and respectability, it's called upscale abuse. In John and Susie, One Woman in Four is a Susie, author Kelly Jones pulls back the curtain on traditional and upscale abuse. With raw stories, urgent insights, and practical tools, she introduces the powerful BOSS framework, showing how abusers choose, trap, and control their victims. More importantly, she gives survivors and allies the clarity and courage to recognize danger before it's too late. John and Susie isn't just awareness. It's a call to action. It shows how abuse ripples beyond the victim to children, families, friends, even bystanders, and it gives us all the tools to respond with compassion and safety. John and Susie, One Woman in Four is a Susie by Kelly Jones, is available on Amazon. Awareness is the first step. Action is the next step. Don't wait.
Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown, unknown preacher.